Chapter 13. You. Apostrophe apostrophe, Summer said that he had come to see what was detaining his friend in such an out-of-the-way place at that time of year, and incidentally to get some fresh air into his own lungs. Pearson made him welcome, and they went towards Sylvania Castle. You were staring, as far as I could see, at a pretty little washerwoman with a basket of clothes? Apostrophe apostrophe resumed the painter. Yes, it was that to you, but not to me. Behind the mere pretty island girl to the world is, in my eye, the idea, in Platonic phraseology, the essence and epitome of all that is desirable in this existence. I am under a doom, Summers. Yes, I am under a doom. To have been always following a phantom whom I saw in woman after woman, while she was at a distance, but vanishing away on close approach, was bad enough. But now the terrible thing is that the phantom does not vanish, but stays to tantalize me, even when I am near enough, to see what it is. That girl holds me, though my eyes are open, and though I see that I am a fool. Apostrophe apostrophe, Summers regarded the visionary look of his friend, which rather intensified than decreased as his years wore on, but made no further remark. When they reached the castle, Summers gazed round upon the scenery, and Pearson, signifying the quaint little Elizabethan cottage, said, "That's where she lives." Apostrophe apostrophe, what a romantic place. And this island altogether. A man might love a scarecrow or turnip lantern here. Apostrophe apostrophe, but a woman mightn't. Scenery doesn't impress them, though they pretend it does. This girl is as fickle as apostrophe you once were. Apostrophe apostrophe, exactly from your point of view. As he has told me so candidly. And it hits me hard. Apostrophe apostrophe, Summers stood still in sudden thought. Well, that is a strange turning of the tables. Apostrophe apostrophe, he said. But you wouldn't really marry her, Pearson? Apostrophe apostrophe, I would tomorrow. Why shouldn't I? What are fame, and name and society to me, a descendant of wreckers and smugglers, like her? Besides, I know what she's made of, my boy, to her innermost fiber. I know the perfect and pure quarry she was dug from. And that gives a man confidence. Apostrophe apostrophe, then you'll win. Apostrophe apostrophe. While they were sitting after dinner, that evening their quiet discourse was interrupted by the long low whistle from the cliffs without. Summers took no notice, but Pearson marked it. That whistle always occurred at the same time in the evening, when a vice was helping in the house. He excused himself for a moment to his visitor, and went out upon the dark lawn. A crunching of feet upon the gravel mixed in with the articulation of the sea steps light, as if they were winged. And he supposed, 2 minutes later, that the mouth of some hulking fellow was upon hers, which he himself hardly ventured to look at, so touching was its young beauty. Hearing people about, among others, the before-mentioned married couple quarreling, the woman's tones having a kinship to a vice's own, he returned to the house. Next day Summers roamed abroad, to look for scenery for a marine painting, and, going out to seek him, Pearson met a vice. So you have a lover, my lady? Apostrophe apostrophe, he said severely. She admitted that it was the fact. You won't stick to him, apostrophe he continued. I think I may to this one, apostrophe said she, in a meaning tone, that he failed to fathom then. He deserted me once, but he won't again. Apostrophe, I suppose he's a wonderful sort of fellow? Apostrophe apostrophe, he's good enough for me. Apostrophe apostrophe, so handsome, no doubt. Apostrophe apostrophe, handsome enough for me. Apostrophe apostrophe, so refined and respectable. Apostrophe apostrophe, refined and respectable enough for me. Apostrophe apostrophe, he could not disturb her equanimity, and let her pass. The next day was Sunday, and Summers having chosen his view at the other end of the island, Pearson determined in the afternoon to see a vice's lover. He found that as he had left her cottage stronghold, and went on towards the lighthouses at the Beale. Turning back when he had reached the nearest, he saw on the lonely road between the quarries a young man evidently connected with the stone trade, with a vice the second upon his arm. She looked prettily guilty, and blushed a little under his glance. The man's was one of the typical island physiognomies, his features energetic, and wary in their expression, and half covered with a close, crisp black beard. Pearson fancied that out of his keen dark eyes there glimmered a dry sense of humor at the situation. If so, a vice must have told him of Pearson's symptoms of tenderness. This girl, whom, for her dear mother's sake more than for her own unquestionable attractiveness, he would have guarded as the apple of his eye, how could she estimate him so flippantly? The mortification of having brought himself to this position with the anti-type, by his early slight of the type, blinded him for the moment to what struck him a short time after. The man upon whose arm she hung was not a soldier. What, then, became of her entranced gaze at the sentinel? She could hardly have transferred her affection so promptly, or, to give her the benefit of his own theory, her beloved could scarcely have flitted from frame to frame in so very brief an interval. And which of them had been he who whistled softly in the dusk to her? Without further attempt to find Alfred Summers, Pearson walked homeward, moodily thinking that the desire to make reparation to the original woman, by wedding and enriching the copy which lent such an unprecedented permanence to his new love, was thwarted, as if by set intention of his destiny. At the door of the grounds about the castle there stood a carriage. He observed that it was not one of the homely flies from the underhill town, but apparently from the popular resort across the bay. Wondering why the visitor had not driven in, he entered, to find in the drawing room the Cholapine Avon. At his first glance upon her, fashionably dressed and graceful in movement, she seemed beautiful. At the second, when he observed that her face was pale and agitated, she seemed pathetic likewise. Altogether, she was now a very different figure from her who, sitting in her chair with such finished composure, had snubbed him in her drawing room in Hamptonshire Square. You are surprised at this? Of course you are. Apostrophe, she said, in a low, pleading voice, languidly lifting her heavy eyelids, while he was holding her hand. But I couldn't help it. I know I have done something to offend you, have I not? Oh, what can it be, that you have come away to this outlandish rock, to live with barbarians in the midst of the London season? Apostrophe, apostrophe, you have not offended me, dear Mrs. Pine Avon, apostrophe, he said. How sorry I am that you should have supposed it. Yet I am glad, too, that your fancy should have done me the good turn of bringing you here to see me. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I am staying at Budmouth Regis, apostrophe, she explained. Then I did see you at a church service here a little while back. Apostrophe, apostrophe, she blushed faintly upon her pallor, and she sighed. Their eyes met. Well, apostrophe, she said at last, I don't know why I shouldn't show the virtue of candor. You know what it means. I was the stronger once, now I am the weaker. Whatever pain I may have given you in the ups and downs of our acquaintance, I am sorry for, and would willingly repair all errors of the past by being amenable to reason in the future. Apostrophe, apostrophe, it was impossible that Jocelyn should not feel a tender impulsion towards this attractive and once independent woman, who from every worldly point of view was an excellent match for him, a superior match, indeed, except in money. He took her hand again, and held it a while, and a faint wave of gladness seemed to flow through her. But no, he could go no further. That island girl, in her coquettish Sunday frock and little hat with its bunch of cock's feathers, held him, as by strands of manila rope. He dropped Nichola's hand. I am leaving Budmouth tomorrow, apostrophe, she said. That was why I felt I must call. You did not know I had been there all through the Whitsun holidays? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I did not, indeed, or I should have come to see you. Apostrophe. I didn't like to write. I wish I had, now. Apostrophe, I wish you had too, dear Mrs. Pine Avon. apostrophe apostrophe, but it was Nicola that she wanted to be. As they reached the land, he told her that he should be back in town himself again soon, and would call immediately. At the moment of his words, a vice caro, now alone, passed close along by the carriage on the other side, towards her house hard at hand. She did not turn head or eye to the pair. They seemed to be in her view objects of indifference. Pearson became cold as a stone. The chill towards Nicola, that the presence of the girl, sprite, witch, troll that she was brought with it came like a doom. He knew what a fool he was, as he had said. But he was powerless in the grasp of the idealizing passion. He cared more for a vice's fingertips than for Mrs. Pinavon's whole personality. Perhaps Nicola saw it, for she said mournfully, "Now I have done all I could. I felt that the only counterpoise to my cruelty to you in my drawing room would be to come as a suppliant to yours. Apostrophe, apostrophe, it is most handsome and noble of you, my very dear friend." Apostrophe, apostrophe, said he, with an emotion of courtesy rather than of enthusiasm. Then adieu were spoken, and she drove away. But Pearson saw only the retreating of ice, and knew that he was helpless in her hands. The church of the island had risen near the foundations of the pagan temple, and a Christian emanation from the former might be wrathfully torturing him through the very false gods to whom he had devoted himself both in his craft, like Demetrius of Ephesus, and in his art. Perhaps divine punishment for his idolatries had come. 2. 10. She fails to vanish still. Pearson had not turned far back towards the castle when he was overtaken by Summers and the man who carried his painting lumber. They paced together to the door. The man deposited the articles and went away, and the two walked up and down before entering. "I met an extremely interesting woman in the road out there," apostrophe said the painter. "Ah, she is. A sprite, a sylph, Psyche indeed. Apostrophe, I was struck with her. Apostrophe, apostrophe, it shows how beauty will out through the homeliest guise. Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, it will, though not always. And this case doesn't prove it, for the lady's attire was in the latest and most approved taste. Apostrophe, apostrophe, oh, you mean the lady who was driving? Apostrophe, apostrophe, of course. What, were you thinking of the pretty little cottage girl outside here? I did meet her, but what's she? Very well for one's picture, though hardly for one's fireside. This lady, apostrophe, is Mrs. Pinavon. A kind, proud woman, who'll do what people with no pride would not condescend to think of. She is leaving Budmouth tomorrow, and she drove across to see me. You know how things seem to be going with us at one time? But I am no good to any woman. She's been very generous towards me, which I've not been to her. ... She'll ultimately throw herself away upon some wretch unworthy of her, no doubt. Apostrophe, apostrophe, do you think so? Apostrophe, apostrophe, murmured Summers. After a while he said abruptly, "I'll marry her myself, if she'll have me. I like the look of her. Apostrophe, I wish you would, Alfred, or rather could." As he has long had an idea of slipping out of the world of fashion into the world of art. She is a woman of individuality and earnest instincts. I am in real trouble about her. I won't say she can be one, it would be ungenerous of me to say that. But try. I can bring you together easily. Apostrophe, I'll marry her, if she's willing. Apostrophe, apostrophe, with the phlegmatic dogmatism that was part of him, Summers added. When you have decided to marry, take the first nice woman you meet. They are all alike. Apostrophe, well, you don't know her yet, apostrophe, replied Jocelyn, who could give praise where he could not give love. But you do, and I'll take her on the strength of your judgment. Is she really handsome? I had but the merest glance. But I know she is, or she wouldn't have caught your discriminating eye. Apostrophe, apostrophe, you may take my word for it, she looks as well at hand as afar. Apostrophe, apostrophe, what color are her eyes? Apostrophe, apostrophe, her eyes? I don't go much in for color, being professionally sworn to form. But, let me see gray, and her hair rather light than dark brown. Apostrophe apostrophe, I wanted something darker, apostrophe said Summers airily. There are so many fair models among native English women. Still, blondes are useful property, dot 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 well, this is flippancy. But I like the look of her. Apostrophe apostrophe. Summers had gone back to town. It was a wet day on the little peninsula. But Pearson walked out as far as the garden house of his hired castle, where he sat down and smoked. This erection being on the boundary wall of his property, his ear could now and then catch the tones of a vice's voice from her open-doored cottage in the lane which skirted his fence, and he noticed that there were no modulations in it. He knew why that was. She wished to go out, and could not. He had observed before that, when she was planning an outing, a particular note would come into her voice during the preceding hours. A dove's roundness of sound. No doubt the effect upon her voice of her thoughts of her lover, her lovers. Yet the latter it could not be. She was pure and single-hearted. Half an eye could see that. Whence, then, the two men? Possibly the quarrier was a relation. There seemed reason in this when, going out into the lane, he encountered one of the red jackets he had been thinking of. Soldiers were seldom seen in this outer part of the isle. Their beat from the forts, when on pleasure, was in the opposite direction, and this man must have had a special reason for coming hither. Pearson surveyed him. He was a round-faced, good-humored fellow to look at, having two little pieces of mustache on his upper lip, like a pair of minnows rampant, and small black eyes, over which the Glengarry cap straddled. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.